You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Irish Racing Podcast with Andy Holding. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts. Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to day three of Leopardstown's Christmas Festival. It's the Irish Racing Podcast time here at William Hill. I'm Andy Holding. We're going to be looking at seven races for you at the Dublin venue. And it's got a lot to live up to after what we saw yesterday, of course. Drama all the way through yesterday afternoon. Min getting demoted after winning the Grade 1 chase because he obviously interfered with sizing John on the running. And if that wasn't enough, and we saw absolute carnage in the novices hurdle. Meglia Khan smashed his way through the second last, and then both the Mullins' horses fell at the last when upsides each other, leaving the way for Whiskey Sour to take advantage. So today's card certainly got a lot to live up to, but we do have Grade 1 action for you again this afternoon in the shape of the Christmas hurdle, the three-miler, which sees another rematch between Apples Jade and Nichols Canyon. And then, as if that wasn't good enough, the Leopardstown Christmas Chase at 3 o'clock is probably, outside the Gold Cup, one of the best three-mile chases you will see for quite some time. Of course, with last year's Gold Cup winner, Sizing John, bidding to continue his winning run. Fantastic stuff here this afternoon. Going to be run on soft, yielding in places ground, so not too bad at all after a frosty morning. We're going to deal with the 12-15 first and foremost, and what looks quite a decent main hurdle on paper here as well. Over 2.5 miles. Obviously, there's going to be quite a bit of attention surrounding Francine from the Willie Mullins stable, having won a couple of races in France and running in the rich colours, has to be feared by many, including the bookmakers this morning that put him in odds on. However, there are a couple who've already shown a reasonable level of form, and one of them, Daybreak Boy, looks a perfectly viable each way alternative at round about 9-2 this morning, top price. I thought he ran with a good deal of encouragement first time out down in Cork in what turned out to be quite a strongly run event, won in the end by Joseph O'Brien, shady operator. Having got outpaced in between the second last and the last, I thought this horse ran quite eye-catchingly in the end to finish third behind two useful opponents. Jetez the fourth has gone on to run well since in a good maiden hurdle at Punchestown. And with the Henry de Bromhead team in cracking good form over this Christmas period, I suggest this four-year-old gelding by King Salsa is definitely worth an each-way poke in the first race.
Race two.
On to the second contest then, which is the one of the big betting races this afternoon. It's the Per Temps qualifier, and all kinds of shenanigans are liable to be taking place here, of course, with the final at the Cheltenham Festival very much on the horizon for quite a few of these. So, if you like, knowing which of these are going to be running on their merits is half the battle. Hopefully, JP McManus will give the green light to Glenlow, and Gordon Deliot's shots, if that is the case, has got definitely a chance of at least finishing the first three or four at the very least, because his form is certainly up there with the best of these based on his efforts so far this season. He was second behind the very useful Oscar Knight, in which Diamond Courchois finished third. Of course, he's gone on to win subsequently. And even though he was beaten the last day by Red Devil's Lads, I still thought it was a fair effort by this six-year-old on bottomless ground against a horse who obviously found a bit of form in the first time, tongue-tie-hood combination. Whether Red Devil's Lads can uphold that form is obviously open to question, but I'm hoping that Glenlow will certainly be capable of beating Monlino again, who he was victorious over last time. And if that's the case, then 8-1 this morning does seem a reasonable each-way bet with four places on offer. So Glenlow's the choice there.
Race number three.
On to the first of the Grade 1s then, which comes up at 1:20, and all eyes here will be on the clash between Apples Jade and Nichols Canyon again. Of course, they fought out the finish. Well, say fought out the finish. In the end, it was a bloodless success in the direction of Apples Jade in the Hatton's Grace, on her second start of the season. Prior to that, she's won the Grade 2 at Navan. And it's about time that Connections dipped their bread and tried 3 miles, because she certainly looks as though she's got bottomless stamina. And given the way this race is likely to pan out, one would imagine that Jack Kennedy will be out of Roseanne Brout from the front. I can't see any horses wanting to try and take her on. And if that's the case, then the rhythm of the tempo that she's going to set will obviously play into her strengths. It's hard to see Nichols Canyon, albeit he's got a good record over 3 miles or a better one, how he can turn the form around, because he was well and truly soundly beaten by Gordon Elliott's mare at Fairy House. And it might well be actually that Super Sunday turns out to be the fly in the ointment. Indeed, in the betting without mark, it's around about the 5-2, 11-4 mark. I do think Super Sunday represents a good bit of value, because he looked as though he was very rusty and needed the run that day at the county meet venue. But I like the way he stayed on the closing stage. He's only a length or two behind Nichols Canyon in the end. He was closing him down. And I've got a feeling that step up to 3 miles, had he proved when he was second to Yanworth last season at Aintree, he's really going to play into his strengths. So Apples Jade is the most likely winner. But I do think, like I say, Super Sunday is the value bet of the whole race at 11-4 without the favourite.
Race 4.
On to the 150 then, which is a 2 mile novices handicap, and I do quite like the chances here of Like an Open Book, coming from the Johnny Burke stable. Of course, sprung a big, huge surprise with Killahara Castle the other day at a whopping 200-1. But this mare's always been the best mare in his yard, and even though she's got hiked up in the ratings since winning at Thurders last time, I've always felt that this horse is capable of running a much better race, because she's got a great cruising speed and a lovely turn of foot. And hopefully that victory last time out would have given her a lot of confidence, particularly as she did it, as she smashed her way through the second last, but it just didn't impede her prospects at all. In fact, she came straight back onto the bridle, pinged the last and flew up the hill to win in pretty emphatic fashion. She's got some good speed figures next to her name. I think the faster they go, the better it'll be. And I think the better ground will suit as well this afternoon. She doesn't really want it too deep. Wiggs on the Green is obviously an interesting runner here for the Maris Morris stable off a mark of just 114. And that race he ran in the other day at Fairy House was chock full of some promising novices, such as Blow Bar Below, who has won since, and Quick Grab Him, who was backed as if defeat was out the question here the other day before falling at the second. So he's obviously going to be the big fly in the ointment. But Like an Open Book, you can get an each way price about her. It's hard to see her not running a huge race, given her cruising speed, her turn of foot at the end of her races.
Race 5.
On to the 225 then, and the safest option here is surely to go with the Willie Mullins trained individual, Void Tiep, who ran an encouraging race last season behind Jessica Hamilton's Useful Someday. In fact, I thought, to be fair, this horse was going to come and win about a furlong out, but to be fair to Jessica Hamilton's charge, she found plenty for pressure. The pair of them were well clear. It was a good first time performance, and Willie Mullins has won the two bumpers here over this card, so it seems churlish to avoid a Willie Mullins trained horse in a race of this nature.
Race number 6.
Right, on to the big race of the day, and what a humdinger this should turn out to be. Of course, Sizing John, ever since he won the Hennessy Gold Cup here back in February, has not stopped improving. And of course, he's gone on to win the Gold Cup, the Punchestown Gold Cup, and indeed his seasonal reappearance, John Durkin at Punchestown, over what really nowadays is probably an adequate trip. And the fact that he beat Jack Adam, who's very much in his happy hunting ground at Punchestown, suggests that Jack Adam will definitely struggle to turn the form around. If there is going to be a big player from the Willie Mullins stable, it well could come from York Hill, who's got all the talent in the world, but as we know, he's got his quirks. I think it's a good starting point for Willie Mullins' charge to see where they go with him throughout the rest of the season. They've got to find out sooner rather than later whether 3 miles is his bag. Some pundits have actually questioned whether this horse should be running over fences or even dropping back to the champion hurdle distance, but with Faheen lurking in from that stable, I can't see that being the case. But he's such a talented individual, you can never rule him out. And if he jumps soundly and avoids sort of going to his left like he often does, then York Hill's got to be a player. But at the bigger prices, and I do think Road to Respect will run well here, and he's probably the better of the race for me. He's a genuine Grade 1 horse, as we know now, having beaten York Hill, albeit under fortuitous circumstances last season. But he proved it when he finished second to Outlander in the J.W. Wine chase down in Down Raw, that he's very much come of age in this division. And he's hardly ever run a bad race in his life. So around about 12-1 this morning, I could see him certainly finishing the frame here at the very least. And you never know in these races, it's all about rhythm and getting into good track position. It might just well be his day. So Road to Respect at the prices this morning is the way I'd have my my pound or two in that 3 o'clock.
And the final race.
On to the final race then, which is a decent beginner's chase. They've switched the chases around here because of obviously the conditions and the low sun. And even though Sutton Place is very much under the microscope here for the Gordon Elliott stable, I'm going to stick with Bacardi's. He was one of the horses I put up as a horse to follow for the rest of this jump season. And he was a bit disappointing, has to be said, on chase debut when he jumped a little bit slow and ponderously. So hopefully Willie Mullins would have worked on that technique in the interim period. And if you read his column in the Racing Post today, he says he scored well subsequently. He certainly will need to be beating the likes of Sutton Place. But don't forget, this horse is a Grade 1 winner over hurdles, as he proved when he won the Punchestown Festival last season, beating Finian's Oscar and Death Duty into the bargain. So if he can run to that level over fences, then clearly for me anyway, he's the one to beat. And at 2-1 top price this morning, William Mullins' charge will do for me. Thanks very much for listening to this edition then of the Irish Racing Podcast. Hopefully you can tune in again tomorrow when I'm going to be covering the fourth and final day of Leopardstown's four-day Christmas Festival. Until then, it's bye for me for now.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.